We interrupt this program
to bring you Vikings Vent Line, the one show where you get to react to how the Purple played right away.
Right away.
Call in now with your thoughts on the game. 651-646-8255. This is Vikings Vent Line.
Take the vent line. I don't need to take my medicine.
Presented by Red Cow and Red Rabbit.
I don't know that this happened, game. You carry them.
Now, alongside the superstar Mike Morris.
So much fun to watch.
I just don't know what the problem is.
Here's Phil Mackey.
Keenan tosses it over the middle. That'll be a first down. Stephon Diggs spinning all the way out to the 50-yard line. First down in midfield. Controlled it, full speed in, beats Hawkins, and they go 68 yards in five plays. Meanwhile, the pass is perfect to the sideline to Thielen, and Adam Thielen with a big gain and a first down for Minnesota. That's a gain of 21. They just do get it off, and the pass is intercepted by Smith at the five-yard line, picking up some blocking as well, and brings it back out to the 23-yard line.
Yes, indeed. It is a 16-0 victory for the Minnesota Vikings at Lambeau Field tonight. Welcome to Vikings Vent Line. I'm Manny Hill, filling in for Phil Mackey this evening. Superstar Mike Morris is here as well. And, Star, this team's pretty good, even when they don't look that good.
You know what? The Vikings finally have proven to everybody, no matter what.
Let me mute the TV here real quick.
Pull her down. We've been watching the game right here live. We've arrived at a place where you can go into Lambeau. You're figuring you should win it. You know you should. You'd have a big blemish on your schedule, on your win-loss column, losing this kind of game, trying to build momentum into the playoffs and thinking you had any chance of advancing in the playoffs if you couldn't beat the Aaron Rodgers-less Green Bay Packers and no Clay Matthews Jr. And Adams is out and everyone's out. And still, 16-0 wasn't incredibly impressive. But
wasn't pretty.
But it wasn't a really, really pretty game, and I thought they'd be even a little more dominant where they'd put up about 28 on them. But it's hard to move the ball in this kind of weather. It's really difficult. As the game goes along, your hands just get colder and colder and more numb, and it's harder to get, you know, a reach. You can see the receivers just were not able to run underneath some of those passes. The quarterbacks are leading them too far, and they're just not running at full speed. The muscles don't work that way when it's really super cold.
Guys were slipping, too.
And they were slipping.
Yeah.
And your hands just aren't quite the same, and you saw the ball come out of the hands of a lot of receivers on both teams. So I'll take 16-0. I will. But anytime you can beat them out there at their place and shut them out, that's the first time we've had a shutout since 93, and it's the first time we've shut the Green Bay Packers out since 71.
Ooh, wow.
So it's been a while. I'll take it however I can get it, but that's a typical Mike Zimmer defense. We've been saying all along it's the defense that's going to keep us alive and well and in the playoffs. They just shut out Green Bay at home. That's a great sign. They were supposed to. Well, they did. They were supposed to shut Hundley down. They did. Bottom line. And so I'm not, no griping here. We'll take the win. Probably would have liked to have seen some more points, just a little more dominating, but we did control the ball, and we got down the field and made some good on our opportunities. Not that many, but we'll take it. I'm going to take it. Harrison Smith, by the way, 2 picks tonight.
Not a Pro Bowler.
And he's a garbage dumpster player. And I don't know why are people griping about him being so-called snubbed for the Pro Bowl? Wait. Oh, I know. Because he's a great player. And what is anyone thinking about not getting this guy in the Pro Bowl? For God's sake. Jeez.
651-646-8255. Give us a call here on Vikings Vent Line. Vikings defeat the Green Bay Packers. They shut them out 16-0 at Lambeau Field. Vikings now 12-3. As they get ready to wrap up the regular season next week against the Chicago Bears at home. Packers drop below 500 to 7-8. And I think if my memory serves me correctly, Superstar Mike Morris, this is the first non-winning season for the Green Bay Packers since Aaron Rodgers' first year as starter when they were 6-10 in 2008.
That's something else. When the Packers take a big step back, and if they have a loss again next week, and I don't even know who they play, they'll have a losing season. We're talking about a season where they're not winning like above 500, 8-8. How long has it been since they've had a losing? Well, that was, you said 6-10 though, right?
Yep.
And so that's easily a big step backward for the Green Bay Packers. They just don't do this that often.
Let's take our first call. Ben in Florida, you are on with Manny Hill and the Superstar. What's up, Ben?
Ben? Hello?
And we lost Ben.
Ben? Call back.
Call us back, Ben.
Jonathan, what'd you do? Did you drop him?
That might have actually been my fault, but...
Where'd he go, Manny? The voice. Wanting to talk instead of listening to other people.
There we go. Looks like Ben has called us back here. We'll let Jonathan... He's good to go there?
Give another shot.
Ben in Florida. What's up?
Hey, guys. Sorry about that. I know I had called earlier, but I had to take another call.
No worries, man.
That's all right. It had best have been important, though.
Yeah, it was kind of important.
Okay.
Yeah. No apologies about this game. I know the offense didn't score a lot, but when your defense pitches shutout, you don't need to score a lot. I'm just ready to kind of fast forward to the playoffs. That Bears game may mean something, may not mean something. All depends on what the Raiders and Eagles do. But how confident? I just want to get your take on it. How confident are you that Case Keenum can really get the job done? He can, take this team where they need to go in the playoffs? Because Keenum has never played. I don't believe Keenum has ever played any playoff game. So, what. Is Case Keenum the guy that can take you all the way? That's the million-dollar question with this team. The defense, yes. Case Keenum, I don't know. So I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
All right, Ben, thanks for the call. That's been kind of the question really ever since Case Keenum started to play well. I mean, the first couple of games we're just thinking, okay, he's filling in for Bradford and he's doing all right. But once it started to appear that Case Keenum was a starter, that was kind of the question of, okay, can this guy take us all the way? And I think we're still, even now, we don't really fully know yet, but it's looking like that he might be the guy that, if they're going to do it, it's going to have to be him.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? You going to put Bridgewater in there? He's been to one playoff game. Against Seattle, right? Wasn't that him?
We know how that
one turned out. Oh, so we better go with the quarterback that's got the most experience in the playoffs, Teddy, with one game and a loss. No, of course not. You're not going to do that. I'd love to have Teddy in there too, by the way, but only if he has to be. But Keenum doesn't have to do anything else to prove himself in this league. I don't care. I mean, anything can happen in the playoffs. Anything. We can run the table. Somebody else can run the table. Somebody else can knock you out. If you have one bad play in the playoffs, one, it can cost you advancing in the playoffs, period. Everyone has to be on their game to advance through the playoffs. That's all there is to it. Keenum's done his part. Trust me, you can see for yourself. I don't have to tell anyone that. He's done his part. He has made minimal mistakes all season long. And he has put big plays up all game long, every game, since he's become a starter. 7 interceptions through 15 games. 20, he didn't have a passing touchdown tonight. So 20,
he did.
He did. Yep. No, he did. 21 touchdowns, 7 interceptions up till now. This guy, he's done enough. He's doing as much as anyone else in the league, really, for the most part. Playoffs are playoffs. I get it. I understand. Everyone's going to be under the same pressure. It's not going to be just Case Keenum. Everyone's going to have to play up every position. Every team that enters the playoffs faces the same pressure.
AJ in St. Paul, you are on Vikings Vent Line. What's up, AJ?
Mike and Manny, the heavyweight edition.
Absolutely. What about that big voice?
Literally and figuratively, AJ.
Yes. Say, the one thing that far be it for me to criticize the play calling, but Latavius Murray, I understand his role, first down, maybe second down, but geez, he moves like Frankenstein through the holes. He's got no, there's a world of difference between him and McKinnon, and McKinnon can do so many more things. I don't know why. For example, tonight they ran Murray three times within the 6 yard line, and he got about 1.3 yards every time, and we kicked a field goal. Are we going to do that in the playoffs, or was he just, were they just grinding it and not worried about it? Because that does concern me a little bit.
All right, AJ, thanks for the
call. I think it's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, Latavius Murray is not a dynamic running back right now. I think
he's not Dalvin Cook.
He's not. No, he's not.
He's certainly not Dalvin Cook.
And McKinnon isn't either.
Right.
And McKinnon is very good in spots. And you have to pick your shots and take them with McKinnon. And he's good as an extension of the running game outside of it, outside of the line, a drop-off or breaking the edge. He's good at that kind of stuff. But up the middle, I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry. I think that probably Murray is a little bit more effective up the middle. He doesn't have a real dynamic style. There's no question about it. But McKinnon tends to run a little bit east and west when he gets the ball and is supposed to hit it running downhill. But he jump cuts and jump cuts and jump cuts, and by the time you know it, they're tackling him parallel to the line of scrimmage about 20 yards over by the sidelines. And I don't know. I just don't know if that's the right kind of style. If you take it straight to a defensive line or that front seven and you pound it up the middle, you take a lot out of that defensive line, and it's harder for them to tee it up and pass rush. You have to take the hits to them and not let them be on the attack all the time. So I like a punishing sort of grind it out thing from time to time, and it works, with the clock. As long as you're picking up the first downs and converting first downs, I like that style of play.
Latavius Murray, 21 carries, 69 yards.
It's not great. Tonight. It was a cold
night.
It's
not pretty, but
that's kind of his deal now. It's about 75 yards usually, on about 18, 20 carries, and that's his workload. And I don't know if he's the same guy he was a couple of years ago in Oakland, but I think he's coming back from that ankle slowly but surely.
Yeah, and I also don't know if Jerick McKinnon is a guy that you want to hand the ball off 18, 19, 20 times in a game.
Agreed.
He's just not really that type of bell cow.
I agree.
Type of running back, whereas Murray has in the past, he's kind of filled that role a little bit better. Let's go to Jeff in Minneapolis. Jeff, you are on Vikings Vent Line. What's up?
Star and Manny, the dynamic duo. I want to wish you both a happy holidays. It's good to hear you guys after the game.
Thank you.
Same to you, man. Thanks.
No problem. Just piggybacking off of what you just said, Manny, as much as I like McKinnon, this is the first year I think we finally put him in the right role. I think he's a very good weapon. I love him on this team, but you cannot give it to the ball to him too many times because he'll get injured. He ended up on IR in his first season in the league because after Adrian Peterson was suspended, they tried to make him the bell cow back, and his type of body can't take that kind of pounding, but he's perfect in this role. You have Latavius Murray pounded up the middle, and McKinnon is the Swiss Army knife that you don't use too much because you'll wear him down, but when used right, he's very effective. And just to some people, I think, criticizing the play calling, I didn't think it was the play calling. I just think, it's Case Keenum's first time in inclement weather, and the ball just wasn't landing. We still won. It was an ugly, grinded-out game. Nobody's deep passes were really connecting, but in the end, we made more plays, and I think we should probably be happy with how he performed because he was still able to get us in scoring position, and that touchdown he had was really, really nice. So he's definitely our quarterback for the playoffs, and but I do think this game showed it is important to try to get home field advantage because I'd rather not go to Philadelphia in the winter for the NFC Championship game.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jeff. Appreciate it. I pretty much agree with everything Jeff said. I think that the role that Jerick McKinnon has right now is the perfect kind of role. And how many times have you and I been sitting and watching these games and Jerick McKinnon will get a carry up the middle and then you'll just hear this loud crunch and he's colliding with a linebacker. He's a And I tip my hat to him. He's what, 5'9", 5'10", 190 pounds.
Yep.
He's strong as hell. I mean, I know you've mentioned a few times he can bench press about 400 pounds.
He's over 400. He plays around with 500 pounds on squats. That's a lot of weight for your legs. And this guy, he's got a big man sort of way of thinking about things because he's got the strength to go at it.
But I always just cringe every time he collides with a linebacker because I'm thinking,
he doesn't make people miss.
I know he's strong, but I'm just scared that one hit is going to be. Yeah.
He knows he's strong, and he takes it to people because he knows that he's going to hit them with a lot more than they think he's coming with.
Yeah.
But
I just don't know if you want a heavy diet of that.
His size is still about 210 maybe, but whatever he is. But he looks for people to hit. That's the problem. He doesn't make people miss. He's looking for someone to take the punishment to, and he takes a lot of big hits, and he jumps right back up, too. I mean, he's a tough, tough kid. I just don't know how many times you'd want to see him do that.
Right.
But until he learns to get down or slide underneath somebody or be a little more nifty, he's kind of a little man with a big man's game. I'm being serious about that. He is a strong, strong running back. He's very strong. And what he's doing is he loves to mix it up. That's what he does. He's not going to go down easy, and he's going to come straight at you. But that's not exactly what's going to keep you in the game for a very long time or throughout the entire season. So it would be hard to see him carry the ball 20 times because he doesn't make many people miss. That's all there is to it. But he's a very good football player, and he's a niche player.
Yeah. I think he's fitting the perfect he's playing the perfect role for this team right now. John, in Minneapolis, you're on Vikings Vent Line with Manny and Star. What's up?
Gentlemen, thanks for taking my call. Two things. One, was Reavers tweeting tonight?
You know what? I don't know. Let me grab my phone and see if Reavers was tweeting tonight.
If he was, I'm sure it was some serious trash talk.
Yeah.
He is my favorite follow.
Oh, yeah. But for games especially, because he's had a few hops and barleys behind him.
The all caps tweets are my favorite. Next question. I guess, was the play calling conservative because of the weather, or is Zimmer looking down the road to the playoffs and trying to keep the cards close to his vest?
They, you know what? In a game like this, there's only so much you can do in that kind of weather. And to operate efficiently and keep the chains moving, you take your shots when you think you can get them, and you pound it out the rest of the time and hang on to the ball. Hang on to the damn ball.
Sure.
In that kind of weather. And it's a little harder to operate in the passing game. Those receivers are not striding the way they normally do. Their arms don't even reach. You can see a lot of short arming tonight. And they don't. The catch isn't as soft, and the ball is sizzling in there. And when it comes in like that, it's a rock, and it hurts when it hits their gloves. But nonetheless, it's more of a thing of just operating in cold weather and being efficient and not making mistakes and playing good fundamental football. And that's just what you had to do tonight. And you're in their place. You know how it goes in their place. Division opponent, 16-0, pitched a shutout. Got out of there with a pretty decent game from the quarterback and the offense. It was good enough. I'll put it that way. But, you know, later down the road in the playoffs, who knows? You're going to have to play perfect football. That's all there is to it. Or you don't advance.
Well, we end up in Philadelphia in this weather. It might be ugly.
You know, I was asking everyone, what is that stadium all about? What's the Lincoln? I never played in that stadium. What is that all about? Or can they shut that place down or what?
Well, here's my thing. I don't know. I know during this time of year it gets chilly in Philadelphia. I don't know. Does it ever get
I don't that think it's
chilly?
Like that.
I mean, it was single digits in Green Bay tonight.
I don't think it's ever any worse than that.
I can't remember.
Game, I mean, that won't be a night game. Probably more than likely in the playoffs. I don't think so. Anyway,
and we saw the Eagles in the McNabb Andy Reid era. They hosted like three straight NFC Championship games, and I remember it being chilly in those games. You know, one year it was against Carolina, the Tampa Bay one at the old Vet.
Yep.
And then the year they finally beat Atlanta, I think, with Michael Vick went in there. I think it was a little chilly, but I don't know. I don't remember any of those games being 5-6 degrees.
You're not going to see that kind of game right there. Now, the temperature wise,
it's a little bit different.
I mean, in Cleveland, I mean, when you're on the lake, or if you're in Chicago on the lakefront, I mean, it's a whole different thing when you have the lake effect. But I think Philadelphia is pretty tame.
Good deal. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you got it, John. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Jeff in Texas. What's up, man? You're on Vikings Vent Line.
Yeah, so this kind of it's kind of cool that Ventline is calling in and the calls are kind of tempered and complaining about beating Green Bay at their place. I mean, it's kind of refreshing. Merry Christmas to you guys. I hope you have a good
Merry
holiday.
Christmas to you.
And you as well.
A little surprised if we didn't see Bridgewater. Just let you guys talk about that.
Well, thanks for the call, Jeff. I'm not surprised at all we didn't see Teddy tonight.
Not enough scoring up there to do that. I mean, you let him you get off the gas a little bit, put Bridgewater in there, shaky, rusty. You got all these playoff implications still to come. If you can run the table, you draw the guaranteed bye, and we definitely want that to play that first one at home and draw the bye week. So, I mean, Bridgewater is going to get to come in for two reasons. We're way out in front of the Bears. Or Keenum gets hurt. God, I didn't just say that, but knock on wood, if Keenum gets hurt, he's going to have to go in.
Yeah.
However, it's going to have to take a pretty good lead, a comfortable lead with so many things at stake. We've come a long ways with this team. We want to go into the playoffs with momentum and not a loss, a silly loss. You don't want to step on yourself now. You want to keep momentum going and keep building steam into the playoffs and used to winning, knowing that you should win in your head. You know that you're supposed to win a game. Chicago, you're supposed to beat them. You're supposed to wax them. And if we don't, you need to be worried about the playoffs and what you're going to do in the playoffs.
Tonight felt very much like, and I guess you could call it conservative play calling offensively if you want, but tonight just sort of felt a lot like, let's just get in. We know that Brett Hundley and these third and fourth string wide receivers cannot score on us. Let's just get in, get enough points, get ourselves some breathing room, and let's get the hell out of town.
Yeah.
And let's get out of town relatively healthy. Now, there are a couple guys that were banged up. I know Nick Easton looked like he had an ankle situation there. That's something to keep an eye out.
Reef didn't return to the game.
Yeah, Reef had to come out of the game. So
I don't know what that was. We still haven't heard anything on Riley Reef, but we know he's been battling, I think, a bad ankle.
Yeah.
But he's held up for the most part all season long until about 2 weeks ago. But he had to leave a little bit early, like last part of the third quarter, I think he had to come out. So lost the long snapper. McDermott came out.
Yeah. David Morgan came in and did a pretty good job filling in for him. Made a play in the passing game, too.
He caught a couple of them. And picked up a big first down, too. Nice catch and then run afterwards. So it was a nice play. But the field goal PATs, not pretty, but we got him through the upright. Good job, Morgan. Nice job. Nice job. And pretty good on the punts, too.
I was a little worried about Kai Forbath because before the game, just before kickoff, they went to Michelle Tafoya, and she said, I spoke to Kai Forbath, and he said the field was a little bit too soft, and we were slipping a little bit in warm-ups. And I'm thinking, oh, boy, here we go.
Yeah.
The kicker who has already been kind of shaky all year is now talking about the field being too soft, and he's slipping in warm-ups.
Yep. You got to worry. He wants to build in maybe a little padding, a little excuse there, just in case things may go wrong.
But he did all right.
He did fine. He made what was the field goal? The first field goal that broke the ice.
49 yards. Yeah, 49 yards.
I'll tell you what, in cold weather, making a football travel like that when you can't get the same compression out of the ball, because it's a rock. I mean, just to be able to chop one through from 49 in cold weather is pretty good.
Mark in St. Louis, what is up?
Hey, Merry Christmas to the two of you. Superstar. I hope Santa cools you across the back with a chair.
I haven't had my ass cool with a chair in a long time.
So, listen, the people that are kind of complaining about this game, they don't realize this wasn't inclement weather. This was brutal weather. I want people to think about, you know, these guys aren't out there in a pair of winter boots and heavy gloves. I mean, you know, they've got gloves on, but they're thin for the feel of the ball. They're wearing spikes. The Horvath comment at the beginning of the game actually came out true. I mean, they were having a hard time.
Yeah.
Every time they were trying to cut the mud, if you were watching on HD, the turf was coming up. And, you know, think about that ball being thrown for Keenan. I mean, it's cold. It's not like he's got a warm football there. It chills out. He's trying to get a grip. And, you know, the receivers having trouble running just because he's cold. And his Keenan's touch, I mean, I'm happy to come out with that, the kind of game we came out with. I don't think many teams would have played in those conditions and had some kind of high-scoring game. And as far as McKinnon, he seems, I mean, he makes guys pay when they try and tackle him. Like you say, superstar, the pops that you hear when he somebody tries to tackle him. I mean, I worry about his body holding up. However, he's kind of, you know, Walter Payton wasn't a big, big guy. I'm not saying McKinnon's Walter Payton, but, you know, he's kind of that way. And when he hits a guy on a run, I mean, he doesn't slide or duck or anything. I mean, he pops him and makes him think about it. And with that, that's all I've really got to say. And except, again, Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and
thank you.
Looking forward to the playoffs. Take care, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call, Mike, or Mark, sorry. Merry Christmas to you as well. Star, before we react to Mark's call, and thank you to Jonathan for turning my attention to this. Andrew Kramer, who covers the Vikings for the Star Tribune very well. Nick Easton fractured his right ankle and will have surgery, per Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, so it looked bad. Is, I mean, he had someone just fall right over the top of that ankle, and it you couldn't see from the camera angle, but you knew that the way that this guy fell into him, I think it was a Packer that actually fell into him. I think an elf line blocked into Easton, and he took a full body right across that ankle, and it must have flopped inside pretty hard. But regardless, we wish him well. And if it's going to have surgery, then it's probably a screw or something. And if they can already say it's going to have surgery, then it got broken pretty. Is it a broken ankle, though, is actually better, believe it or not, than a high ankle sprain sometimes. Mm-hmm. Depends on how bad he did it or which bone was broken. Could be a metatarsal, could be a toe, could be a lot of different things. But anyway, but he's played well.
Yeah,
I hate to see him go down now because of what he's done and what he's been a part of and rebuilding that offensive line. And he's been a big part of that, huge part of that. And it's just too bad he can't continue on and get into the playoffs with everybody.
I know Matthew Collar, who covers the Vikings for us here at 1500 ESPN, he tweeted out earlier tonight that he's a bigger loss than people might realize because he's done a really nice job. And when the Vikings run screenplays, he's one of those guys that can get out in space and run and block downfield.
Yeah, he's a good player.
That's a pretty pretty tough loss there for the Vikings, but we'll see how Jeremiah Searles, who I assume would be the guy who would fill in there at left guard, which is what he did tonight. So we'll see how he goes.
He's a good player as well, by the way. Very versatile, a good utility player. He can play tackle either side of the ball. He's played both guards. Searles is a pretty good player. I like knowing that he's there for us. But it's good depth. They have good depth on that offensive line. They've got several guys. Isadora can play. Hill can play, as we know.
Yeah.
We've got some versatility on both sides of the ball up front on the offensive and defensive line.
You're listening to Vikings Vent Line. Vikings win 16-0 at Lambeau Field. Vikings improved to 12-3. Packers dropped to 7-8. And we are on 1500 ESPN, which is KSTP St. Paul, Minneapolis. Vikings Vent Line continues on. Let's go to Bill in Minneapolis. What's up, Bill?
Star, serious question.
Go ahead.
Could you come out and play or be a backup long snapper? I'm kidding. I mean, I'm not kidding because you're in good shape and stuff, whatnot. Could you come out and be a backup long snapper? I'm serious.
If they needed me, I could do it. If they wanted to talk money, let's just sign on the dotted line. I can go out there and snap. You kidding me? I've snapped in 188 regular season games and 11 playoff games. Only one game I haven't snapped. Super Bowl. Haven't done one of those yet. I'm retired. I'm staying here.
Thanks for the call, right, Bill.
Yeah, thanks for the call, though. Could I do it? Yeah, I could do it. Of course, I could do it. They don't even get to hit the long snapper.
I tweeted out when they showed McDermott, and at first I thought it was a hand because the way too. He was holding his wrist, but I then they too. Said it was a shoulder because he was holding his arm to sort of stabilize the shoulder.
Yep.
I tweeted out. I said, let's get superstar. It was right before halftime. Let's get superstar.
I teach it all summer long. Hill Murray teaching it. You know, I still have to do it to demonstrate. I'm still firing the ball pretty good too. I might add. You put me in pads? Are you kidding me? I'd thump someone across the mouth, kick him in the head after I had him down, play dirty, try not to get any flags thrown at me for once. They're better off without me. I'm nothing but trouble, quite frankly. That's all I got.
651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. If you want to get in outside of the metro area. Vikings win over the Green Bay Packers 16-0 at Lambeau Field. And this is also, Star, the first time, I believe, having a nerd moment right here, this is the first time the Vikings have swept the Packers since 2009.
Brett
Favre. Ooh, yes.
He thumped him twice badly.
Yeah.
He thumped him pretty good. We had a string of six games against the Packers with Denny Green.
Yeah.
Six in a row.
Well, for a while, they couldn't win at the Dome.
Couldn't do it.
At all. It took Brett Favre five or six times.
Couldn't do it.
Five or six trips to the Dome before he could finally win a game there.
Correct. Denny Green came in here in 92, and he said, there are only two things I want you to do. Only two things that we're worried about. We, around here, we're going to beat the Green Bay Packers, and we're going to beat the Chicago Bears. That's what we're going to be known for. We're going to also win going into a bye week, and we're going to win coming out of a bye week, guarantee you. And he did all those things really well. I mean, honestly, I think we ran the Bears six games and the Packers six games before they finally got onto us. But anyway, that was then. This is now, and I'm telling you, this is the first time we've shut anyone out since 93, the second year Denny Green was head coach here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first time that we have shut out the Green Bay Packers, I believe, since 1971.
It's a
pretty good haul. That's a pretty good haul.
And that's saying something because the Packers, after the Lombardi years up until, you know, before Favre got there, they had some lean years as
very
well.
Very lean. Yeah,
they were ripe for the picking to be shut out.
The Lynn Dickey years.
Especially in the 80s.
Yeah, well, Lynn Dickey was back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Not good. He was not very good. He was horrible. Sidearm thrower. Ugly.
Kind of like Matthew Stafford a little bit.
Yeah, actually, a little bit. Not quite the touch of Stafford, though. He is a sidearmer, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Flutie used to do some of that. I'll tell you who was really good at it. Who's the best sidearmer you know?
Well, I know Rich Gannon, our guy Rich Gannon, he used to sidearm a little bit.
Another one in the Hall of Fame. Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
He used to do a lot of sidearming because he played he played with the Iowa Barnstormers.
Yeah.
In the Arena League. And he had to throw little drop shots because it was a tighter field and they had to work underneath and kind of flip them. He was a magician. He didn't do it naturally because he wanted to. He could just do different angles and then over the top. He was a classic passer. He was a picture perfect passer. But if he had to, he could just kind of uncork it from sidearm. Teddy Bridgewater's got a little sidearm to him.
Yeah.
He got a funny motion.
Yeah, he kind of drops the shoulder a little bit. I think they've been trying to correct that with
not
Teddy
change
the last couple of
Don't
years.
Don't change but. Something that's 70% every time. Every game he's 70%, for God's sakes. All the way through Louisville, too.
Yeah.
Keenum, number one of all time in the throwing yards from a Division I school. At the quarterback position is Case Keenum. Of all time.
After two, I think he had two ACLs at Houston.
Did he really?
I didn't know he had one for sure.
I know this.
But his senior year, I think he hurt his knee or something like that.
I had no idea. I really didn't. Yeah. He's got a great throwing motion, by the way. He can wind up and throw it.
Yeah.
He can chuck it down the field.
He's been playing well.
Yep.
Tonight he was 14 of 25 for 139 yards and a touchdown out to Stephon Diggs. in the second quarter, I believe.
And it's pretty good. That's actually a pretty good stat line in that kind of weather. It really is.
And again, it felt like I said before, it felt like just get in. Let's not do anything too crazy. We'll run the football, move the chains a little bit, get enough points. We know that they can't score on us, and get out relatively healthy. Now there's a couple guys that a little bit concerned about. Nick Easton, as we mentioned earlier, according to Andrew Kramer, who
Kevin McDermott, long snapper got hurt.
Nick Easton has a fractured ankle. Riley Reiff looked like he might have
tweaked
the ankle.
I think so.
And that kind of felt more like he tweaked it, and let's pull him out of the game. We're up by a couple scores here.
He
pull him out of the game and
pretty comfortably. I mean, you could tell he didn't want to really come out, but he was told to just take a seat, relax. We've got a lot of football still left to play. And so they just need to buy him some time, get through the Chicago game. I wouldn't even start him for Chicago. I really wouldn't. I put Hill over there or Surless, whatever, at right tackle, whatever the case, and just get through that last week, get the win, you know, lock up the bye week, and get old Riley Reiff a couple weeks of practice, of healing and in the tub and the training room, and let him get himself right for the playoffs. I really would.
651-646-8255. Vikings with a 16-0 win over the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field tonight. Manny Hill superstar Mike Morris here with you on Vikings Vent Line. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll have more Vikings Vent Line for you. Again, 651-646-8255. This is Vikings Vent Line on 1500 ESPN.
Here's what you might have missed on a recent episode of the Crafty Rogues podcast. You want to talk cricket?
You look like you want to bounce up and down like a cricket ball on a dodgy wicket.
No, I just want to get the cricket out of the way.
Yeah.
Gloating is bad.
Is it?
So I'll only
We've only got two listeners who are anyway interested.
I'll only gloat for a
Hang
couple
on,
of minutes.
Before you get into the cricket.
Yeah.
Friday night.
Yeah.
I'm at home with my son.
Yes.
He's like, what are we going to do, Dad? I'm like, I'm going to give you some cultural lessons. So I took him through some of the dodgy channels on the dodgy stick. We actually found the Minnesota Wild game on a Portuguese channel that was taking a feed from Minnesota. But further down the pecking order, I showed him some rugby. Yeah. He enjoyed that. We spent 20 minutes explaining that. Then I showed him cricket. He's like, ooh, what's that?
Yeah.
And then I explained it was the Ashes, and he fell asleep.
You lost him there?
Yeah.
You can find the Crafty Rogues on iTunes or wherever it is you find your podcasts. Download and subscribe today.
That'll do it. The game's over. Now the fun begins. You've sat on your duff watching the Purple play. Time to get in the game with your reaction to how the Purple played.
Our run defense was just gas.
He seemed uncomfortable running out of the shotgun.
Put a team on the field that has no preparation.
You gotta find the middle linebacker.
This is Vikings Vent Line, presented by Red Cow and Red Rabbit on 1500 ESPN.
Keenan's gonna take off. Maybe. Then he's going to throw it, and that's caught, and trying to get a first down, and getting it is David Morgan, who gets to the 29-yard line. Go figure. They just do get it off, and the pass is intercepted by Smith at the 5-yard line, picking up some blocking as well, and brings it back out to the 23-yard line.
Vikings defeat the Green Bay Packers 16-0 at Lambeau Field. The Vikings are now 12-3. One more regular season game to go as they host the Chicago Bears next week at U.S. Bank Stadium. But the Vikings superstar Mike Morris, as we're back here on Vikings Vent Line, like I said before, it just felt like get in, win the game, get out, and they took care of business tonight.
They did. They did. They play the kind of game that you have to play in cold weather, and I think that the play call was suiting that, too. I mean, you have to match what you can do with the football when the weather gets like that. What kind of football can you do? Whether it's the shorter routes, more of the out routes, the shorter stuff that you can get over the top, make sure your receivers can catch it and hold on to it and move the ball. Move the chains and run that clock off. Get the lead and hang on to it and just play good, solid football between the hashes and run that clock off. and don't do things that are going to cost you big. Yeah, down the field shots, you take them when you can, when you know you've got something there. But other than that, that ball is not doing the same thing, and the receivers are not running the same, and the quarterbacks are still leading them too far because they think the speed is there, and they don't have a feel for it, but the receivers are being held up because of the weather and a soft field. And that's what happened. You saw overthrown balls all night, both guys,
yeah,
on the deeper routes because they don't have that timing down, and they don't have that feeling for a receiver who's moving slower and can't run in that. That was the problem.
He is a superstar, Mike Morris. I am Manny Hill, sitting in for Phil Mackey tonight. Phil's over in Wisconsin.
Way to go,
Phil.
Family
stuff.
What are you saying, P-Mac? Are you saying that you wanted to go on that side of the river for this one?
You just want to put him in a headlock right now, don't you?
I would love to just twist his head off and make him say uncle, and it wouldn't take very long.
Back to the phones we go. John in Minneapolis, what's up? You're on Ventline.
Got a quick question for you guys. If both the Eagles and the Vikings end up with the same record, who's got the tiebreaker?
The Eagles do, I believe.
Because of the Carolina win and our loss.
Right. The Eagles, I think, so let's hypothetically throw this out here. Okay, so the Vikings are 12-3. Assuming they beat the Bears next week, they're 13-3. The Eagles, if they finish 13-3, the Eagles would still have the tiebreaker either by conference record, depending on what happens, because they have Oakland on Monday, which is a different conference. But if they finish with the same conference record, the Eagles would have the tiebreaker because of common opponent. I believe that's the tiebreaker.
I think so.
And the common opponent in this case would be the Carolina Panthers, who the Eagles beat earlier this year. I think it was a Sunday night football game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vikings, of course, lost to the Panthers just a couple of weeks ago. So that is how that tiebreaker would work out, I believe.
I think you're right. I think that's the way it works.
So the only way the Vikings are going to get home field advantage is if they win next week, which they probably will, and then the Eagles lose out.
Either lose to Oakland or Dallas in their last game. They still have to play tomorrow, Oakland.
I think it's a Monday night game, actually. I think it's Monday night.
Oh, is it Monday night?
I think
okay.
It's Monday
well, then,
night, yeah.
You know, Oakland's been pretty tough on Monday night lately.
Well, let me double check the schedule. It might be.
Either or. The Raiders.
It is Monday night.
It is Monday night. Yep. Thank you, Jonathan. Yep.
They have to beat either Oakland. And Oakland's. They've been a really gamey squad. They really have been a tough team to beat. You never know what's going to happen. It's Nick Foles. I know he's had the hot hand lately, but.
He's doing well. But, you know,
Dallas.
What? Teams are moving the ball on that Philly defense right now. The last few weeks, the Rams, I mean, we know the Rams have a potent offense. They put up 35 points on them. The Giants last week, who have been
close.
A dumpster fire all year.
Almost.
Went in there and they hosted the Eagles last week and almost beat them. So.
Division opponents. And by the way, Dallas, a division opponent.
Yeah.
Just remember, Ezekiel Elliott back. Does Dallas have anything to play for? Because if they do... You're gonna get a real show out of that one.
They might. Let's go back to the phones here. Todd in South Dakota, you are on Vikings Vent Line. What's up?
Yeah, I was just wanted to get you guys' opinion on how Barr made the Pro Bowl and Kendricks and Hitman Harry didn't make it.
Well, my opinion is that the fans really shouldn't have anything to do with the Pro Bowl balloting because it's only on popularity. It's only popularity. It used to be just coaches and players and a few of the sports writers would vote on who got to go to the Pro Bowl. It would be offensive players would vote for defensive players in their conference and vice versa. Defensive players would vote on players in their conference and coaching staffs. And I think, I don't know, there might have been one beat writer from each and every team that got to put their selections in as well. But when they turned it over to the fans, a lot of strange things started to happen. Because you end up with popularity contests. Yeah. And people now tweeting, you know, vote for this guy and having a freaking mad dash on votes for someone that doesn't even, you know, it was like a flash mob of votes.
It's become a...
Do you guys agree with me, though, that... Either one of them guys.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Harrison Smith.
He's the best safety in football.
Kendricks. Absolutely.
Kendricks and Barr. Not so much.
Yes.
Yeah.
100% agree, Todd. 100%.
I totally agree with you. No, I was making a point on your behalf, sir. It was a good phone call.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Todd. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Harrison Smith, I mean, look, it's the Pro Bowl, so whatever. But I think it just further proves that the Pro Bowl itself is just kind of a joke now.
It really is. And it's means kind of so much now. Still because contract time, you have leverage with those Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
Your agent says, you went to the Pro Bowl, I want money, more money for my guy.
And when certain guys are going to get their gold jackets in Canton, what do they talk about? You know, so-and-so was a 9-time Pro Bowler.
You're never going to see anyone go into the Hall of Fame that didn't go to the Pro Bowl, or a lot of them.
Yeah.
You're not going to see those guys show up. And what happens is there might be a guy out there that has probably been on schedule to be at a Pro Bowl 4, 5, 6 years. Mm-hmm. But because of fan voting, he never made one. And he was the best player all along. That's going to be a tough thing someday. Someone's going to get snubbed, not from a Pro Bowl, but because he got snubbed for a popular player over here who had a more popular fan base and their city was more behind him than his city was. You're going to have people snubbed from the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's going to be, that, I'm telling you. Anyway, Kendricks is a badass.
Yeah.
He's only behind Luke Kuechly by about 4 tackles. He's ranked number 13 in the NFL going into tonight's game. Can't find Barr on the radar for linebackers or for any tacklers. He's not on the radar.
Yeah. It's really
Say
weird.
Say what you want to. Numbers speak. Results of the judge. Kendricks has a ton of tackles. He does. I mean, look it up. I mean, he's ranked 13 going into this thing tonight. And he had a bunch of them tonight, too.
He's been all over the field all season. He had the pick 6 against the Bengals last week. He's having a fantastic year. Barr, I think, is having a bounce back year from last year.
He's having a better year.
He's been better this year. But, yeah, I mean, the Pro Bowl is just, it's become, and well, now we're at a point now, too, where because they play the game the week before the Super Bowl now, if you make the Pro Bowl and your team goes to the Super Bowl, you're not going to play in the game anyway.
That's
so
right.
What are they doing? They're throwing in alternates and replacements for you anyway.
So it's a complete total sham.
Yeah, it's just become it's become a farce and
a shame because that game means so much in terms of career.
And the amazing thing is, people watch it.
Of course,
I can't remember the last time I watched the Pro Bowl.
Me either.
And can't I used remember to look the last forward time
to
it. I
used to love watching that because the real players used to show up. I think it was like a couple of years ago. It was like 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago now, that they appointed Michael Irvin and Chris Carter as the captains of the Pro Bowl teams, and they got to pick.
And it was like Jerry Rice and Deion another year.
Yeah.
Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders the next year or something like that.
And here's the one that gets me. You were allowed to pick from either conference to make your team.
Yeah.
You could pick AFC, NFC players to make up your team. How stupid.
And you know what? The NBA is actually adopting a similar format this year where they pick the 24 All-Stars. Each conference is going to get 12 All-Stars, and then you just pick 2 captains, and they're going to draft guys.
Maybe they should have a lottery. That's always worked out well for him. God, man.
Hey, don't be dissing my league.
Man,
you know
come
I love
on,
the NBA, man.
You know you don't like that lottery. That is.
I wish they would televise the lottery like
I love the NBA. I really do.
Not on tape delay. But
man, you got to. Come on, man. You know you got to fix that.
Oh, yeah.
You Trust know me, you have to. Yeah.
As somebody who has loved the NBA for 25 years, basically, there's plenty of issues that I have with the league. But. That is neither here nor there. The Vikings.
I got under your skin. I like that, man, because you always do that. You always do that to me. I like it. You didn't go Alex Boone tonight so far.
We still got some time. We still got some time. Superstar.
Who are the 2 players that will drive me the most crazy? We already mentioned Alex Boone. Who else? Go ahead. Let's see if you can get this. You're the archivist.
That drives you crazy.
The 2 players in this league that drive me absolutely nuts to talk about.
In this league right now.
Yeah.
Was it Diggs? Is Diggs the other one?
I've got issues.
I know you got some issues with Diggs. Stephon Diggs a few times.
A former Viking.
Ah. It's a CC, isn't it?
Oh, no. Well, everyone knows that.
Yeah.
No, still playing.
Still playing.
Kind of.
Former Viking.
Yeah.
Running is it Adrian?
Back. Adrian?
Adrian. Yeah, you got it.
Okay. What is it?
You know I've got big
issues.
I thought
I was more rough on Adrian than you were.
Oh my God.
I've been throwing shade at Adrian ever since he left.
Oh man. I'm right with you then. Yeah, Diggs could clean it up a little bit, too. I'm not saying I'm... And he has the last couple of weeks. He actually has.
Yeah.
Showboats an awful lot. Settle down, bud. Relax. Just catch the ball. He has been pretty good. How about tonight they throw a graphic up on me? I had no idea. Percentage of targets and catches?
Yeah.
Diggs leads the entire league in percentage.
And Adam Thielen's not far behind.
And he's in fifth.
Yeah, so... Yeah, it's a good group of receivers, man. That's for sure. The Vikings, they defeat the Green Bay Packers 16-0. This is the Vikings vent line with superstar Mike Morris. I'm Manny Hill filling in for Phil Mackey, who is out in Wisconsin with some family for the Christmas holiday weekend. And certainly wish Phil the best. Phil, I think Phil tweeted once tonight in regards to the game. It was just kind of a calm down. Overreact to a game like this. And that
why
sort of
does he
thing,
have but... to go over there to Wisconsin this week? I say, you know what? It's treason.
But you know P-Mac loves to troll the Packer fans.
I know he does. I know he does.
Yeah.
But there's something really funny about this. I don't know. I don't know if I can trust him now when he gets back. He's been over in Green Bay, or Milwaukee, rather. Over in Wisconsin, what are you doing over there? You're either on our side or their side. Pick one side and join the team. We have any more calls, by the way?
We got one more coming in.
Yeah, but put them on.
I gave Jonathan a signal that I didn't mean to give him.
I heard the drums. It was a marching band that was coming in.
We got one more caller coming in. So what do you think? Looking ahead now to the Chicago game next week, how many guys are you playing? How many guys are you looking to sit out at this point?
Nobody sits out except Riley Reiff.
Okay.
If you can go, you got to go. This is everything. You're hoping the Eagles lose one of these next two games, and you had better clean up your last game. You've got to clean it up. You've got a mission. You got a mission, man. And Reef gets to sit out because I think we can get by.
Yeah.
But we really need to buy him some time for healing. And I say all guns on deck. Time to go. Time to put on a big show and finish the season off at 13-3. Lock down Chicago. You're supposed to, so do it. Put your boot heel on the throat and step on that throat. And let's move on and lock down the playoffs and hope that Philadelphia loses one.
Final caller of the night, Kyle in Denver. You are our final caller of the night here in Vikings Vent Line. What is up, sir?
Hey, guys. First of all, I appreciate you guys being at work on a holiday weekend. It doesn't go unnoticed. We really appreciate it, all the Vikings fans out there. And my question is, this Vikings team is good. We're going to beat Chicago. I was out there for the Bengals game. The atmosphere was electric. We're going to be at home for the playoffs, at least a lot of them. Do you think this team can win the Super Bowl in Minnesota, honestly? Truly. What do you think?
All right. Thanks for the call, Kyle. I mean, I think they can.
You make a case. You can make a case for anyone that enters the playoffs. We have a lot of really good football being played right now. A lot of the teams that are winning their divisions, respectively, right now, have won a lot of football games. This is a strong league right now.
Yeah.
The people who are showing up at the end of this season are going to be strong teams. So when you get in there, that tournament is a different tournament than the qualification tournament. When you get into the playoffs, you find people that play mistake-free football. Coaches throw red flags when they need to be thrown and win a lot of calls because they're a good coaching staff. They manage the clock. You have to have a little luck involved, which means you can't get injured. You can't have someone get injured and out of the game, and now you're out of a quarterback, or you're out of a left tackle, or you're out of a big-time player. You have to find in this thing some luck where you have to count on your training and your last offseason to be in the kind of shape you need to be to go the distance. And so that's what can the Vikings win is the question. Yes, they can. Absolutely they can. You're going to tell me that if the Patriots lost Tom Brady to an injury? Not that it would matter. I mean, you could beat them with him. The Falcons had him. They just let off the gas. They didn't know what to do with themselves. They panicked, And the Falcons, the Patriots came roaring back.
The Falcons dominated the Patriots in the Super Bowl for 2.5 quarters.
They had them.
Yeah.
They had them. They had Brady rattled. Hell, he threw a pick six.
Yeah.
But you can't count those kinds of people out. That's the kind of football you get in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. If you want to do it, there are going to be a lot of great unknowns. And the greatest thing about this is that no one really knows Keenum or what he's going to be good for in the playoffs or otherwise. So that's kind of a good thing. They don't have a book on you like they do everybody else. But I like our chances as much as anyone because of our defense and because of the way we play as a team. Yeah, the fact is, if you're asking, do I really think that they can win the Super Bowl? I haven't said this in a long time. I don't know if I've ever said this. The Vikings could win the Super Bowl right here in our own backyard. They're not going to change locations because we're in it. They're going to keep obviously they're going to stay with the schedule, right? They're not going to say, "Oh, the Vikings, that's not fair." You win, you get into the Super Bowl, you're playing in Minneapolis. That's us.
You know the biggest difference too, I think, with this team, and I think this has been kind of talked about on this station for sure. With this team as in comparison to other teams that have gotten close to NFC Championship games, and certainly all due respect to the 98 team, is the defense.
That's one of them.
The defense. This is a championship caliber defense.
You are seeing something that we haven't had here in a long, long, long time. You know, back before the days of free agency, when you just kept these teams together forever and ever, they played together forever, and there was no free agency. You either stayed with your team or they let you go and said goodbye and you'd try and land with another team then.
Yeah.
Or you just stayed together for like 10, 12, 14 years, like the Purple People Eaters and Paul Krause and all those guys on that defense. That was a great defense. But they stayed together forever, knew each other. That's like the Steeler defense, the Iron Curtain. They were a great defense, and they all played together forever. But times are different now. You change you reshuffle the deck almost every year with your players, your coaches, your money, everything. So it takes a lot to assemble a team and pool enough talent together and keep it together long enough to play really well and know each other really well. And we have that window right now because our defense has really kind of been together for several years now. Everyone from Harrison Smith to Barr has a time with everyone together on the field. Now with Kendricks also, Griffin sat behind Jared Allen for a long time. You know, Brian Robinson, he's been there forever.
Yeah.
Danielle Hunter is there now, too. And Tom Johnson's probably a 4 or 5 year Viking. They have played together.
B Rob has been through a couple different coaching regimes, man.
Yes, he has. And, you
know, Chili to Leslie Frazier.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we've played that this defense, they know each other. They've come together as a unit. Xavier Rhodes, it took him 2 years to start figuring things out.
Yeah.
And now he's here. He's arrived, and he's really respected, and he's got Trey Waynes, and they're bringing him up through the ropes. Zendejo fits in, too. He does.
The nice thing is you look at the stars on this defense, Harrison Smith, Rhodes, Linval Joseph, Emerson Griffin. They're all around the same age. They're all mid to late 20s. I think Everson Griffin turned. I think he turns 30 next year.
Probably right.
He's 29
years old. Sounds about right.
But they're all around the same age, and they're all really starting to really peak.
Oh man, at the right time. You're right. That age.
All going into their prime.
That experience. They've all either sat behind someone and are now the guy, the man. Everson Griffin, the guy. Jared Allen. 22 sacks, retired. But what did he teach that young man behind him? A lot. Because he grew up a lot from the time he came out of SC to where he is now. And you throw in guys like that, and you start with Linval Joseph from the New York Giants in here, missed the first year because of an incident, you know, away from the field first year. He might be the best fantastic player overall on that entire defense, and we didn't even mention him.
Right.
He's a great player.
Most important thing you've learned, Superstar Mike Morris, before we get out of here.
I can say things that I haven't said before. I've learned that I can say the Vikings could win the Super Bowl without feeling reserved about saying it. I mean, we've come this far, 15 games. We just walked into Green Bay. I understand what the situation was. Everyone does, that Rodgers wasn't going to play. I could care less. We beat the Packers. We shut out the Packers. We did it on really just sort of consistent fundamental football, and we did it. So these are proving these are step at a time. These are stepping stones for us. And it's telling the fans, this team has arrived. They have arrived. They're good to go. You can't step on yourself now. You got to play all out against Chicago. Hope Philadelphia loses one. Have home field advantage throughout the playoffs and into that big game that also is played right here. But this team has proven to me, and that's one thing that I know, is I can talk about the Super Bowl now. And I don't have any reservation about it. I can talk that game with anybody. Anyone, you have the right to now. You're entitled to it. That's it for me.
All right. Most important thing I've learned is that this defense is just continues to amaze, and they pitch a shutout tonight, and very disciplined football tonight, too. Not very many penalties for the Vikings. So they're a disciplined football team, and they're clicking on all cylinders right now. They win it 16-0 over the Green Bay Packers.
Feels good.
Tonight, they sweep the Packers for the first time in 8 years. For the superstar Mike Morris, I'm Manny Hill. Thanks to Jonathan for running the controls tonight. Thanks to the callers who dialed in. This has been Minnesota Vikings Vent Line on 1500 ESPN, presented by Red Cow Red Rabbit. Thanks for listening, folks.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, yes.
Keenan tosses it over the middle. That'll be a first down. Stephon Diggs spinning all the way out to the 50-yard line. First down in midfield. Off play action. Keenan to the back of the end zone. Diggs comes down with it. Touchdown. Trolled it. Both feet in. Beats Hawkins. And they go 68 yards in 5 plays. They just do get it off. And the pass is intercepted by Smith at the 5-yard line. Picking up some blocking as well, and brings it back out to the 23-yard line. Meanwhile, the pass is perfect to the sideline to Thielen, and Adam Thielen with a big gain and a first down for Minnesota. That's a gain of 21. Keenan's going to take off, maybe. Then he's going to throw it, and that's caught, and trying to get a first down, and getting it is David Morgan, who gets to the 29-yard line. Go figure.
Skol Vikings, let's win this game. Skol Vikings, honor your name. Go get that first down, then get a touchdown. Rock 'em, suck 'em, fight, 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 fight. Skol Vikings, run up the score. You'll hear us yell for.